The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Bahati Mutisia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from The Teen Magazine. The first article is titled, How to Start Investing for Teens. This is written by Neek Yelamali and was published Monday, February 21st. How many millionaires do you know who have become wealthy by investing in savings accounts? I rest my case. That's a quote from Robert G. Allen. My dad first introduced me to the stock market when I was in the sixth grade. Ever since then, I have been drawn to the fact that it was initially created by the middle class to attain financial freedom. The first ever city to create a publicly traded stock was Amsterdam when the East India Company went public in 1661. Soon after, the first American stock went public, called the NASDAQ. Decide what kind of investor you are. The first step to investing is deciding what you want to get out of it. The best way to succeed in the stock market is by knowing yourself. If you know that you're a person who usually likes the safe route, you should go with things like ETFs, bonds, mutual funds, and shares. If you know you're a person who enjoys a bit more risk in your life, you should go with things like options. You are also going to have to decide how long you can keep your money in the market. Whether that is one day, one year, or 30 years, the stock market is a perfect place to learn and succeed. Open a brokerage. The second step to financial freedom is opening a brokerage. When it comes to choosing a brokerage, you want to keep two things in mind: ease of use and commission/fees. A good option for most people starting out investing is Robinhood, as it is extremely easy to use and has little to no learning curve, and there are zero commissions. Another good option containing zero commission fees is Webull. However, a learning curve is present. Finally, the last public brokerage to choose from is TD Ameritrade. TD Ameritrade also incorporates no hidden fees or commissions, but is harder to learn to use compared to an app like Robinhood. Pick a brokerage and stick to it. Long-term shares. Holding shares is on the safer side of the stock market. When picking companies to invest in for the long term, it is important to pick them carefully. A good way to pick these companies is to observe what companies you use daily that have also truly changed the world. Just to name a few, Apple, Microsoft, Google, and Tesla are revolutionary companies. Additionally, you want to look at things such as earnings to see whether or not a company truly has a loyal customer population. If a company has fluctuating earnings, it is usually best not to invest in it as to show signs of a risky investment. It might also benefit you to learn how to look at things such as logs and charts to ensure the company is secure from an economical perspective. Some companies pay shareholders a dividend or a portion of their profits, which might start adding up in the long term, helping to grow your account. Some of the biggest dividend yielding companies include AT&T, Lumen Technologies Inc., and Vornado Realty Trust. Finally, sticking to the basics and remembering your long-term goals will ensure holding shares will benefit your investment portfolio. Option trading. Option trading is on the riskier side of the stock market. It requires predicting which way a stock will go in a short-term period of time through things like charts, patterns, earnings, and news. The formal definition of an option is a contract which conveys to its owner, the holder, the right, but not the obligation, to buy or sell an underlying asset or instrument at a specific stock price on or before a specific date, depending on the style of the option. A simpler definition is betting on whether a stock will go up or down and making a profit in between. Options can be extremely beneficial to an individual's portfolio as they can be compounded very easily. There are two types of options, puts and calls. When buying a call, a trader is betting on the stock to make a move to the upside because of things like positive news regarding the company, traceable bullish patterns in the chart, being overvalued, being oversold or overbought, and beating predicted earnings. When buying a put, a trader is betting on the stock to make a move to the downside because of things like traceable bearish patterns in the chart, bad news coming out about the company, being oversold or overbought, and coming short of predicted earnings. When trading options, it's important to have stop losses set. If done properly, options can help compound your portfolio. The bottom line. The bottom line to succeeding in the stock market is this. Set a budget on how much you can set aside to invest per month. Manage your portfolio in a responsible manner. Stay focused on your long-term goals. And always remember that time in the market is always better than timing the market. If you're interested in learning how to start investing but are not able to bring forward the capital to do so, paper trading is always a good idea as well. With paper trading, you can learn how to properly and safely trade without having to worry about any repercussions, such as losing large amounts. In conclusion, investing is a necessary skill that all teenagers, adults, should turn teenagers and adults should learn in order for them to be able to achieve financial freedom and never have to worry about money again. Nick Yelamali is a sophomore who is passionate about investing, business, and crypto. When he's not writing about his interests, you can find him playing sports, hanging out with friends and family, and playing video games. The next article is titled, Here is Why Keeping a Secret from Someone is Not the Same as Lying. This is by Clarissa Minton, and this was published back in July, July 5th. Secrets have been a controversial topic for an infinite amount of people. Since the beginning of time, secrets have caused fights, loss of trust, and even supplied the reason to end relationships. The main argument presented is that one person feels that the other has lied to them in the process of keeping the secret. While that reason may be valid in some cases, can keeping secrets really be the same as lying? While lying can be caused by dark secrets, a secret isn't technically considered to be a lie. Here's why keeping a secret is not equivalent to lying. Number one, lying versus keeping a secret. Lying is the act of deliberately changing the truth to benefit oneself, whether it's for the present or the future. Lies are told for many reasons, but whenever someone bends the truth in any way, it's harder to come out with the truth in the future. Sometimes lies can be hard to control because one lie is always followed by a second one to cover it up. With secrets, the truth can come out easier because nothing was said to make the other person believe any other side of the story. In most cases, no other stories are needed to conceal the secret as long as no part of the secrets are spoken of very often. The less people that know of the secret, the better. With no lies to conceal the secret, the truth can be uncovered whenever the time feels right. Number two. Consideration for the other person. Usually, keeping secrets from a place of love or respect for the other person. Someone might not want to bother the other person with their own issues because they might see it as insignificant or the other person might be going through a very difficult period of time. In TV shows like Gossip Girl, New Girl, and Friends, phrases like, I don't want to bother them with this today, or I'll do it tomorrow, are very common when a character is dealing with keeping a secret from someone really close to them. Secrets normally come from a place of wanting to protect something that's going well. If the secret is dark enough, sometimes people might fear that their relationship might fall apart. Therefore, the secretive person tries to wait for the best moment to break the news and hope for the best, not completely losing their foundation of trust with the one that they care about. Lying can sometimes come from that same place of love and respect for the other person, but not all the time. While the secret keeper considers how the other person will feel if they find out what they're hiding, the liar thinks about the consequences the same way, but hopes that the secret never comes out. The lies come from a place of guilt, shame, and regret in most cases. A lie is often used to protect someone else's feelings and trust. Unlike a secret, if the secret is found out after the first cover-up lie is told, the truth that the other person has is at a higher risk of being completely lost. Number 3. Optional partners in crime and consequences. Although lying and secrets are two different concepts, they can often make a fantastic pair when it comes to sparing feelings. Secrets are sometimes the root cause of lying. Secrets are best left unspoken until an explanation can be provided, but sometimes an explanation might not be enough, especially if an interrogation of any kind occurs. To avoid ever having to tell the truth, people try to hide the truth with lies so they don't feel as bad in the future for whatever they did. Quick solutions might sound great in the moment, but they aren't always the best long term. In any relationship, lies can create permanent damage to the foundation. The other person is less likely to fully trust you in the future, and it can take an eternity to win back what trust was lost after the impulsive decision. On the other hand, secrets have the opportunity to lose trust just like a lie, but the other person in the relationship is more likely to understand that there are no bad intentions associated with trying to protect them and the relationship. Ultimately, while lies and secrets can be fused together to create something extremely powerful and toxic, they are not the same thing when they are separated. They have most of the same intentions and possible consequences, but one is definitely better than the other when it comes to preserving a relationship and protecting another person. This is written by Clarissa Minton, who is a 17-year-old self-proclaimed poet. She hopes to one day sell her own book filled with her original poems. She looks forward to learning how to protect her writing by writing new articles and many more poems. The next article is titled, Agree to Disagree. Learn to Walk Away from an Argument. This is by Cassandra Stinger. It was published January 17th. It's only natural to disagree with others. After all, we are all different people with different likes, dislikes, and opinions. The problem comes when the conflict is not resolved and instead just becomes a battle of the wills. Why is walking away so hard? Walking away from an argument is such a hard thing to do for so many reasons. Sometimes it's because of a need to win. Other times it's because you need to work on maturing to the point where you can actually walk away from the argument and not turn around and yell back. Often, this maturity grows as you do. Reasons to walk away. Number 1. When the only point of the argument is to prove you're right. Sometimes, an argument starts because a topic needs to be addressed. It's easy, however, to become focused on making sure that you've heard and that you are in the right. That is something that's hard for me because I feel like if they just listened to me, we wouldn't have this problem. Of course, that's not true. Usually, the other person is feeling the exact same way you are. Number 2, the person isn't going to listen. Some people really just don't care enough to listen to what other people have to say. At that point, continuing will only further damage your relationship. If you have someone who is consistently unwilling to hear you, ask yourself why. Does your approach to the situation need work? Are you going in full armor already, ready to fight? Are they a victim of past verbal abuse, making it hard to hear you? Are they a toxic person? Think about it for a while before you attempt to talk to them again and adjust your communication accordingly. Number 3, it isn't really a big deal. Sometimes it's little things that don't really matter that are the most irritating. It can be so easy to get stuck on your pet peeves and let them take control of the situation. Later, if it's something that really bothers you, go to that person and calmly discuss how what happened hurt you. Arguing won't solve the problem. This is number four. Some things can't be solved by bickering. Instead, you might have to put aside your differences for a little while and work together. Sometimes you're going to have to compromise instead of getting in your own way. Instead of getting your own way. Okay, how to walk away from an argument. Number one, assess the situation. Is this something that will matter later on, or can it just be left alone? Will it still bother you later? Does this person have the maturity to actually listen to you and respond in an appropriate manner? Number two, look at the situation from the other person's perspective. It might be difficult to do at first, but put yourself in the other person's shoes. What does the situation look like from their perspective? Often, the other person is just as frustrated as you are, and because you're both frustrated, you're attacking each other instead of working to solve the issue. Number three, discuss. Say, I don't feel like we're getting anywhere by sitting here arguing. I would like us to take some time to calm down, and we could maybe discuss this later when we're both in a better frame of mind. If the other person refuses, let them know that you would like to hear what they have to say, but not while they're yelling at you. If they still won't listen, get a witness. Tell the witness the situation and have the witness go back to the person you're arguing with. Tell them again that you think you should take a break. Make a time to come back and discuss what happened so that you both know when you'll be sitting down to talk. Number four, calm down. Take some time to calm down and reflect back on what happened. What was your part in the argument? Did you do anything you need to apologize for? If so, when things have calmed down, ask to talk to the person and apologize. If you're having trouble calming yourself down, try doing a breathing exercise or listening to some calming music. Sometimes it will take a while before you and the other person are able to sit down and talk about what happened. You may only need a few minutes. Other times it might be several days before you're ready to talk. Examples of when to walk away. Fighting online. Arguing with someone online is completely different than if you are face to face. Often we don't know the people online and we can't see them, so it's easier to say things, polite or not. This emboldens people on social media to say whatever comes to mind. This can lead to fights, online breakout over the most ridiculous things. For example, I'm in a book club group on Facebook, and while it's fun for the most part, sometimes things get taken a little too seriously. People will get mad and go on a tangent if someone doesn't like a book they loved. They will often say hurtful things over a simple difference of opinion. Because you don't know the people online and you don't walk life with them, you do not have to sit there and argue with them. Instead, just let it go. Arguing with toxic people. Some arguments can't be solved, not because of the nature of the argument, but because of the other person involved is toxic. Arguing with a toxic person is different from arguing with a normal person. Toxic people are often manipulative and will do everything in their power to hurt you. If you find yourself going toe-to-toe with a toxic person, you have to realize there is no way to win the argument. It's just not going to happen. Instead, just say, I'm not going to argue with you, and walk away. If you want to learn more about toxic people and behaviors, you can read another article. In an argument, you have to remember that you can't always win or fix an issue with a few sentences. Instead, realize that walking away from an argument, even for a short amount of time, can help you and the other person calm down so that you can have a fruitful discussion. Cassandra Stinger, who is the author, is a journalist and aspiring author from Central Kansas. When she's not writing, she can be found reading, cooking, or pursuing photography. All right, and the next article along the same lines as our investment article is 27 Creative Ways to Make a Lot of Money as a Teen. This is by Heather Grace, written December 8th. As a teen interested in entrepreneurship, I know there are better ways to make money while in high school that isn't taught in school and isn't a simple job at Starbucks either. Many of these I've tried or have had friends who have done successfully, but you still need to be serious and driven to accomplish them. If that is you, then these are the best ways of making a significant amount of money while still in high school. Number one, make an app. I know this one sounds impossible, but it's not. A friend of mine did exactly that and is earning income per month passively from a simple multiplication app on the iOS App Store. She didn't have much technological experience, but she was motivated to take a course on Udemy, the exact course listed, which are listed below, and built the app when she was still in high school. You can also have an app built in under 3 months following a tutorial like the ones below. And they're titled The Complete iOS App Development Bootcamp and The Complete Android in Developer Course. If you find a certain need and market it well, you could charge a dollar for every download and or make money from in-app ads. Number two, photograph an event. You only need one client to start a business. See if one of your parents or parents' friends are hosting an event where you can charge for your photography skills. If you don't have a nice camera, you can rent one or take a photography class online. Once you take pictures at one event, you can get a referral to start photographing other events. Senior pictures are also a great opportunity to use your photography skills. Put your name out there, talk to parents, fellow students, and get your first job. Number three, get a music gig. Are you a good singer? Do you know anyone who would want to be in a band? You could reach out to some restaurants or cafe and send them recordings of your songs and or covers. If they like your music, they might agree to hire you to perform in their restaurant or cafe, especially if it's a local family-run place. Gigs like this are how Taylor Swift started her career when she was a teenager. Number four, tutor friends. Are you really good at math? Did you score really well on the PSAT? You could be a tutor and get paid $20 or more per hour. Not only does it help the person you're tutoring and let you earn money, but it also gives you a refresher on an old subject so that you can do better in your current classes. If you tutor a subject that you love, it doesn't even need to feel like work. To find someone to tutor, just ask your parents or friends, or friends' parents, if they know anyone who needs help. Often, students are embarrassed and won't admit that they need a tutor, and that's why it's important to talk to the parents. Number five, get paid for your design skills. Tons of people are looking online right now on Upwork for creative people to help them design their logos, websites, media, etc. You can sign up for a freelancer account and submit your cover letter and resume for available job openings. This should only be for people who already have experience in graphic design and or art. If you don't yet, I suggest first taking a class online and building up a portfolio. Number six, make money organizing events. Put those good leadership skills to work and help adults organize events. You could be paid as an assistant or even find people who need to have an event organized. One idea is organizing birthday parties for small children. It's often a headache for parents with little time and kids with high expectations. You can take that responsibility off them by organizing an amazing birthday party with fun games and cute decorations. If one kid goes to an amazing party you organized, they'll tell their parents that they want you to organize their birthday party as well. That's where you can turn this idea into a business. Number seven. Sell at a farmer's market stand. Don't be shy. Just walk on up to some and ask if they're hiring at your local farmer's market. Some might be interested in letting you work a shift or throughout the day. If you have something to sell, such as handmade jewelry or lemonade, you could also go through the paperwork of setting up your own stand. If you don't have a farmer's market in your area, another option is to cater an event. Unlike farmers market stands, which usually only happen certain times out of the year, catering can turn into a profitable business that can give you more flexibility in your schedule and, of course, has the possibility of growing up much more than a traditional stand at a farmer's market. Number eight, Start a computer or phone service company. Before you count yourself out as someone who doesn't know much about computers, remember how much more you know as a millennial about phones and computers than your grandparents or even your parents. You wouldn't necessarily realize it now, but as a teen, you're likely more tech savvy than you realize. And if there's something you don't know how to do, I'm betting you'll do a lot better following a tutorial online than your older client would. All you need is one client or family member to pay for your help setting up their phone, fixing their iTunes account, or installing some software, and you're off to the races. Ask around your neighborhood to see if anyone needs help. You only need one person to hire you to start your business. Number 9, lifeguard at your local pool. Lifeguarding isn't always a summer activity. Visit your local pool and gym and apply to become a lifeguard. Most, if not all, pools or gyms will let teens over the age of 15 in most places train to become a lifeguard. Here's a tip. Learning CPR beforehand is extremely helpful and often a requirement. Number 10, referee sports games. Do you know a certain sport really well? Did you grow up playing a sport? I know some friends who earn $100 for reffing one soccer game. That's not bad at all for a 90-minute game. You can search for the reffing opportunities in your community or ask a local high school or club coach. Usually, there's a training you need to take before getting your first game, but after that, you can decide which times and games work best for your schedule. It does help if you're able to drive yourself because games can sometimes be far away. Number 11, sign up for WAG. Round up the neighborhood's furry friends. Create a poster or online ad that lets the neighborhood know that you're available. You can sign up for WAG or ask your parents if they know anyone in need of a dog walker. The other, since we're running out of time, I'll just read. Sell your stuff, babysit neighbors' kids, start a YouTube channel, sell on Shopify, grow an Instagram account, sell on Etsy, produce a song, try out for a movie or TV show, sell clothes from a thrift store or garage sale, manage social media accounts, do people's makeup, teach a skill, sell your photos, design your own clothes, become an affiliate, and write an ebook. All right, we've come to the end of today's episode of Teen Magazine. Please be sure to listen next time. This is Bahati Mutisia reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.